remission of sins. Acts chapter 10, 36 to 48. God's plan to save mankind from the eternal ravages of hellfire was enacted from the time man first fell into sin. How can the disease of sin be cured? The word remission literally means to cause to stand away. How to release one's sins from the sinner. How to find forgiveness or remission of sins. In the history of mankind, it has been plagued with miseries, pain, as a result of sin. And we thank God that there is a solution that God has provided. This required Jesus Christ's sacrifice as the punishment of sin. Hence, the putting away of sin and the deliverance of the sinner from the power of sin can come through faith in Jesus Christ. The psalmist understood this truth as he looked forward to the Messiah to come when he said in Psalm 32, verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile." Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. What is transgression? The word transgression means to break. To break with. And it means to break covenant with your Maker. The one who made you, the one who is the source of your being. When you are estranged from Him, life is miserable. When you are connected with Him, life is pure and good. Transgression is the word to revolt, to rebel. And the Bible says that the man who is blessed of God is the man who is reconciled to God. His transgression is forgiven. The word literally means to lift, to carry, to take away. To take away the guilt. To forgive our transgression, our rebellion against God. To be forgiven, to be remitted of our sins, is to have our sins taken away, lifted off, like a weight upon our shoulders. You know, there was one time I went to visit someone, and she says that I have a heavy burden upon my shoulder because I cannot forgive my husband. And that is for the last 30, 40 years. That burden was great. And what could we do? Well, we shared with him the message of the gospel. We said the words of Jesus Christ, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And recently, I heard that this lady is now going to church. She saw her need for relief because that burden of sin, of that unforgiveness in his heart, was so unbearable. And so David speaks of the blessing of having our sins taken away, forgiven. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. Sin is not just rebellion, but sin is what the Bible described as missing the standard of God's word, missing the mark. And it's emphatically delineated in the Ten Commandments. This week, we taught the children the Ten Commandments, the laws of God, so that they may know where is the standard of God, and how by assessing ourselves against that standard, how we fall short. And the Bible says that sin, blessed is he whose sin is covered. And it's interesting that this word there means to be covered in the passive voice. Being covered. We cannot cover our own sins. But when Adam and Eve sinned, God provided for Adam and Eve a covering. God made a coat of skin to cover their sin, to cover their nakedness. This word to cover means to clothe, to conceal, to atone for. So blessed is the man who knows that God is not coming after you for your sins. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That's the third word that is used in the Old Testament to describe sin. That is a bending. It means a crookedness of life that results in perverseness. And the outworking of sin in a person's life. I know of a man, after his stint in the army, he sport long hair and he wears makeup. And we are told that he worships a Thai god. And he made his house to be like a temple. So I remember going to the house. When we enter, right at the side of the house is a box. It says, I sing. You can make donations. And right in front, all the gods made with hands. The Bible says, blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. When we have gone way out in our lives, the Lord said there is a way back. Through God, through Christ, that this sin is no longer credited upon us. And when David makes these words, he says in verse 4 and 5 of Psalm 32, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Why was this so? Because his conscience weighed upon him for sins that were unconfessed. And he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. He realized that sin cannot be hidden, that sin has to be confessed. And so he says, I will confess my sin unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. Dear friends, after we come to know Jesus, God, through Christ Jesus, wash away all our sins. And this is the message that comes reverberating in the book of Acts. The way of salvation, the way to make right with God, is through Jesus Christ. Remission of sins. This was the main focus of Peter's preaching here in Acts chapter 10. And he tells them three thoughts which we want to bring to you. By Jesus Christ, verses 36 to 40. By God's witnesses, verse 41 to 44. And by the Holy Ghost, verse 45 to 47. That's the way in which sinful men come to know a holy God. Verse 36, Peter said, that the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. This word that was spread throughout Israel concerning this man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, how He is the Lord of all, that we receive peace in our hearts through Him. You know, this peace that is being preached is such a wonderful commodity that the world doesn't know. And the world would hope to receive. If you look at the world, you find that there is no true peace. Why is it so? Because of human sin. And the Lord tells us that human sin can be dealt with through Jesus Christ. And therefore, Peter offered to the people. Now, until now, in the book of Acts, the word has been offered to the Jews. But now, God's word says that this offer of salvation would be extended not only to the Jews, but to all Gentiles. And Peter was called of God to make this offer to the Gentiles through this man called Cornelius. You remember? We are at this place called Caesarea. Right? 2 weeks ago, I showed you the city of Caesarea, how it was is a seaport with a statue of Caesar erected right in the middle of that city. Idolatrous place, but God has a plan to save mankind, and God has chosen to save the family of this Gentile man, Cornelius. And how we saw that God prepared the heart of such a man. He was seeking peace with God, and he cried out, not knowing the way to God. You see, inside us, because we are made in the image of God, there is that longing. There's a longing to be reconciled to your Maker, to the one who makes you, the one who is the source of your life, your being. There is that yearning. And Jesus, and Peter is saying to the people, the family of Cornelius, this is the peace that you will receive through Jesus Christ. He came, verse 36 says, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. This word peace is very interesting. It means to join. And the word there means the things joined together. So to make peace means to join together that which is separated. We are separated from God. The source of our being. And that peace can come through Jesus Christ. And that's why we offer Jesus Christ to the world. Paul says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the offer that Peter gave to the family of Cornelius, that by Jesus Christ, you will find that elusive commodity that is called peace. There is so much unavailable in the world. And what is this peace as we think about it, biblically speaking? Well, this peace is basically a holiness that we have with God, that we are accepted by God through Jesus Christ. And that peace is so precious because that peace comes with a positional holiness in the life of the people of God. And Peter is saying to them that this is the offer that I bring to you. This is that word which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now, what was Peter talking about? Well, he was speaking about Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was born, the son of a carpenter, the Jesus of Nazareth, the God that had come in human flesh, the God that was anointed, the God that was anointed, verse 38 says, with the Holy Ghost and with power, and how he went about doing good, how he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And he says that we are witnesses of all this, which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, in whom they slew and hung on the tree. But him God raised the third day and showed him openly. This is the gospel, dear friends, that is being offered by Peter, because he has seen that this Christ is the true Messiah. And it's very interesting as we contemplate and think about Jesus Christ, how he is God Almighty. He is the creator of all things. How is it that he comes humbly in human flesh to be identified in humility, in a human vessel, to reach out to sinful men? You know, God doesn't have to do that. But God had condescended himself in order that he come in this manner, in great humility, in order that he may reach out to sinful men. And oftentimes, when we share the gospel, men and women cannot see, cannot understand why God had to appear in human flesh, why God had to come in this manner. Well, this is how God would reach out to men. Personally, he came personally. And this is what Peter is saying, how he has come to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This was what Peter quoted from Isaiah 61, which Jesus fulfilled when he came upon earth. Luke chapter 4 is described for us. This is the Christ. This is that Messiah that has come. This is the one that would be able to save you from all your sins. And the efficacy of that gospel message must be experienced. It must be tasted. And that's why the apostles, whom God called, were the eyewitnesses concerning what God had done to reach out to us through His Son. And so the Lord tells us that sins can be remitted by Jesus Christ. And, you know, Peter tells the people, we saw how he went about doing good, how he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. This was the very God himself. And this is the Christ that we offer, that he is not a hoax, that he is real, that he has that power to deliver you from sin. This was what Peter was saying to the people, Cornelius and the family. By Jesus Christ. That's the first thought. And secondly, by God's witnesses. That's the way to God, through Jesus Christ. But how can men and women be saved? God had to send human instruments to save them. This was God's means. This is God's way. By his witnesses, verses 41 to 44. Just having that message is good, but you need a vessel to carry that message. And Peter was that messenger. And we want to impress upon you that you are that messenger that God has entrusted with the Great Commission to give the word. Peter says, not to all people, Christ who has risen from the dead, right? But he was witness unto us, chosen before God, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Those who are alive, those who are dead, they would be judged one day. And, you know, to share the frightening thought of a coming judgment to mankind, it's something that, you know, you have to know it yourself. You have to grasp it in your own soul, in your own heart, before you can give it to others. And this was what Peter is saying. He understood. What is hellfire? He understood the judgment that will come. And there is that great fear in his heart that he doesn't want the people to be lost in their sins. And he wants to impress upon them this gospel, this judgment to come, that death is that separation. And we persuade men. This was what Peter was doing. Persuade men of a coming judgment and to tell them that whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ, you will be saved from the ravages of sin. Yesterday, after our visitation, I received a call to go to the hospital to visit someone who has been diagnosed with cancer. And so in the evening, at about 6:15, 6:30, was there in the hospital. And this brother in Christ brought me to the ward. And we were there, and there was a man lying in bed. He was admitted to hospital just on Monday, and he was told that he had less than 3 months of life left. And within the time when he experienced pain, the last few days the pain has been so intense that he asked for morphine. He asked to be relieved. The pain was so great, he says, all over him. And so when I saw him, he was in great pain. But before that, you know, there was some relief. So we had an opportunity to go through with him the gospel, how we are created by the Almighty God, and that we created, fell into sin, and how that sin is so great that we cannot take it away ourselves, and that it can be taken away only through Jesus Christ. And while that sharing was given, we come to a point where we said that, you know, in heaven there is no more pain, no more suffering. And it was at that point in time that the acute pain came into him, and the offer was made. The offer was made. This is the way out. There is no other way. And I stood there, we are all helpless, not knowing what to do, how to help that man. But we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ has that power to grant peace in his heart, to take the trauma that he is to go through in the days to come. And so he took hold of the gospel. He was willing to receive the message of salvation. I believe God has prepared his heart. He was in great distress, and he had no way out. He knew that he had to find relief. And then the message of the gospel was shared. And he was willing to come to receive this message. His dear friend of his, dear colleague of his, must have been very burdened for him over the years, the former colleague. And so when he found out that he's having problem, straight away called, straight away, do something. And there was another lady who was there, said, I've taken time to also share with him the gospel over the last few months. And it seemed that that was the time when the Lord had appointed for him. And so when it was asked to him, will you pray the sinner's prayer? Will you come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, yes. And as the words were being given to him, he followed. Word after word, word after word, word after word. It seemed the Lord had prepared him. And we said that by faith, faith comes first. We believe, therefore we receive. And he understood that. He had to receive this word by faith. The word of God. And we knew that if he has believed in his heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be saved. And God will be with him. The Spirit of God will be with him to help him. This was what Peter is doing. Going to this family whom God has prepared, his heart is prepared to receive the Lord. Verse 44, our final thought. By the Holy Ghost, while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. What Luke is trying to describe to us is that the gospel message must be given through a human instrument, but ultimately it is the Spirit of God which will use the Word of God to convict the hearts of sinners, to give him, to give her the yielding, a yielding heart to receive the Lord. And this was what Peter was describing. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. This is real, that God still saves sinners today. The gospel is still powerful, but he needs a human instrument, you, to be ready, to be available. Verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as they as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, this is the open door that God has declared through Peter, that the gospel is given to the Gentiles. The door is wide open. You are to go with that message. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Aramaic was a common language during that time. Greek, Koine Greek, was the language that was spoken by the people. And Latin. And so when you preach the gospel and you share with them, well, they would answer you, respond to you by what they understand, the message of the gospel. Whether it's Aramaic, whether it's in Greek, whether it's in Latin. They heard them speak in all these languages in affirmation of faith. You see, when a person has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you would see a change. You would see a yielding. And there will be evidences for you to know if this person has truly received the Lord. And this was what Peter observed, that indeed the Holy Spirit has come upon them. You see them yielding their hearts to God. They were hungry, wanting to know the will of God, how to live their lives. Then Peter said, "Can any man forbid water that this should not be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost as well as we?" That is the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, and then to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that's the power of God through water to affirm that indeed the Holy Spirit has come to indwell that person by the Holy Ghost. For can any man forbid water that this should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So Peter is saying that, look at them. Are they not saved through Jesus Christ like we are? Do you not see the evidences of their faith in receiving Jesus Christ? How they renounced the idols, how they renounce their past life. Do you not see? Should we not baptize them? Indeed, that was what they did. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Well, they were so happy. He said, stay with us. Continue to instruct us in the things of God, that we may know how to do the will of God. So this passage of Acts chapter 10, the salvation story of this first Gentile family, Cornelius, come to a happy conclusion. The preaching of Jesus Christ, the witnesses of God who come, and finally, the Holy Spirit that co-labored to save all those souls. Hallelujah. What a Savior. The gospel has been extended from the Jews to the Gentiles. And we are the recipients of those good news through missionaries, men of God, who were willing to come and preach Christ to us. And this is the message that we have to give to a dying world. Will you go for the Lord? May we all be ready. Ready with a knowledge of the gospel, a living knowledge, experiential knowledge, and ready to bear a witness of what Christ has done for us in our lives. And then to experience the power of God through the Holy Spirit to save souls, transport them from heaven, from hell to heaven. What great power, what great authority. May we be fit instruments for the Master's use. May our lives be clean, available for the Master's use. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy Word. Thank Thee for this testimony of the salvation of Cornelius' family. Indeed, Lord, we thank Thee that it is by Thy power that Thou would draw men to Thee. It is by Thy great grace that sinners may be opened to know the way to God through Jesus Christ. O Lord, we realize how impossible it is for men to comprehend the plan of God, the mystery of redemption. And yet, Lord, this is the way that Thou hast deemed fit to save mankind through Thy only begotten Son. And Lord, may Thou be gracious to help us to be faithful to this message of the gospel, that we may go forth to do Thy bidding. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.